This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, join Rossi for Colors of Courage to hear the inspiring stories of ethnic social entrepreneurs supporting their communities here in Otautahi.
Tell me about yourself.
I came to New Zealand in 2010, just as a dependent. My wife was a student. She always wanted to pursue in hospitality. So she studied level 7 in hospitality in New Plymouth. There was a college called PIMS. I just came as a dependent. And right from the beginning, right from 2010 till date, I've only done hospitality.
Right.
So Started as a delivery driver for Pizza Hut in New Plymouth. Yeah. It was a small town, not much job options. Mm-hmm. And I took a step ladder from a driver, duty manager, manager. And they promoted me to an area manager here in Christchurch in 2012. Yeah. And since then, Christchurch is my home.
Right. Okay. So what did you do back home then? And which city do you come from?
I come from Hyderabad, city of Nizams and biryani.
Uh-huh.
And
now you got to explain what biryani is.
Biryani is a very authentic staple food which is cooked in a slow steam process. It's a combination of rice with any meat options. Like the most popular is chicken or mutton biryani, so which are marinated overnight for good 10 to 12 hours with a lot of spices. At least, for example, if we talk about chicken biryani, it will have at least 18 to 20 spices, anywhere between them for an authentic one. The meat and rice are cooked together in a very slow steam process. It has a lot of fragrance and a lot of flavor. It was rated, in top 5 foods in the world. So one must try biryani.
Right.
It's a... minded, it's quite addiction for some people. People can eat biryani. And back home in Hyderabad, people can eat biryani in the breakfast, lunch and dinner, with that staple food there. So from there I came in and, it was completely opposite. Back home I was an IT guy. I've studied Bachelor of Commerce, end up doing some IT courses and, move up the ladder to IBM. Before I moved to New Zealand, I was working with IBM as a quality analyst. So I used to test the softwares for IBM and, produce things or fix things. Yeah. So it was a complete shift from IT to hospitality, complete opposite U-turn. But I love it, I love hospitality. It's more about customer service rather than food. Mm. People think hospitality is about food, but food is it's a product, You're just selling the product, but how you deal, how you make, how passionate you are matters a lot.
Okay. And so how did you choose New Zealand?
It's probably straightforward. I just wanted to leave my home country and just want to go abroad for a few years. It was never intent to stay abroad or, to settle down abroad. It was always take a break from my busy life back home. So me and my wife, we decided, and my wife, she always wanted to pursue her hospitality thing. She wanted to take it forward. She did a bachelor's in hospitality and she wanted to do a master's now. So I said, okay, fine, I'll accompany her. You study, I'll take my break. And, that's how the plan started. And the college which she was in was world's top 5 college in hospitality. It's called Pacific Hotel Management School back there. So it was very well reputed, level 7 course she took back then.
Mm-hmm. Is that affiliated to a 5-star hotel?
Yes, it is. So, it was, that's how, into hospitality we started. And that's how New Zealand, either it was Switzerland or New Zealand for hospitality. Mm-hmm. These two countries are very well known for, hospitality people to pursue their masters or, grow further. So that's why New Zealand.
Yeah. So explain to me what you ran away from or what you wanted break from in India. How was life there?
Life there was good. Now when I sit back and think, it was really good. But back then, I was quite young, recently got married. I was like maybe 25, 26 back then. Used to do my night shifts because back then most of the IT companies were night shift because we had to coordinate the timing with either US or UK, depending which country, you're working along with. So I used to work 5 days a week, mostly like semi night shifts, like afternoon to midnight shifts. come back home, and it was very hectic and monotonous. Like, back home, I was working for nearly 8-10 years into that IT sector. So it was a very monotonous. I was not going anywhere. It was very repetitive. It was like I lived in a nuclear family. So I had my relatives. I had so many cousins and everything. And I was quite the younger one in the family. So always the pressure was put downwards, you know, in family. So it's like, you're the youngest one, so you take the shit, you know, like that it was. You take the pressure. So I didn't like that. I was like, forget it. I want my, you know, share of say as well. I want to, you know. Mm. But being in the family and all, I was a bit controverted. I was like, you know, very shy, not speaking much and all that. And I preferred to leave that atmosphere because it was overcrowded or it was, you know, it was a bit too much for me. I was like, you know, let's take a break from this thing, I thought, you know. I didn't even inform my parents that I'm applying abroad or anything. I didn't take any money or help from them because I've been working. I had some savings. I just told my wife, like, this is what we'll do. We'll go on a study and we'll take a break. Maybe we'll come back in 3-4 years. If we like it, we'll stay there. Or if we don't, we'll come back, you know. I was open for options. I never came here for residency. I never came here for a peaceful life or anything. I just want to take a break. I was very much open to do anything. I never came with a plan key. I will get into IT, I'll do this, or, you know, I did not have any big aspirations, you know. Mm. Because back home, probably my parents gave me a good education, good surroundings and everything. So it's not that I was short of something or it was not a desire to achieve anything. It was just a break. I just wanted to break my monotonous life, you know, go abroad, see how things work. I always wanted to see how things work outside India. Mm. So that was the main reason.
So you left Hyderabad and you came to New Plymouth. Mm-hmm. Straight away.
Yeah, straight away.
Very, yeah. So explain to me how was life then? This was 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no friends or family or anyone in New Zealand, okay? The only source of information was Google back then, which was also not as advanced what it is today, okay? Very limited information on Google there. So I had no idea how I'm going to reach New Plymouth. I landed in Auckland Airport, got out of the airport with, you know, those days you were allowed 45 kg as a student. So I had big bags of me and my wife and everything, about 4 or 5 bags, came out in a trolley. I asked the police officer there, how do I go to New Plymouth? That's how, you know, I came to New Zealand. And he was like, you just came with your young wife with this luggage and you don't even know how to go. I'm like, no, I don't know. And the first guide in New Zealand was that policeman, the, you know, who then told me what to do.
Yeah.
He was the one who booked that sharing shuttle for me to, you know, CBD, and then he told me how to take a bus and everything. So that's how, you know, that how unprepared I was, you know. But I was open for challenges. I knew that life's going to be upside down. So back then, because I was in computers, there was a very logical thing that, you know, in order to function better, the computer to function better, you have to reboot, you know, you have to refresh. Or that's what I thought with my life. I wanted to reboot my life, you know, and I was prepared for it, you know. I was prepared to do anything for the matter of survival or anything, or to learn. I was open to learn. I was open to new culture, new people. So all I knew was New Zealand is a very safe country, you know. I was very sure of, and that was a confidence I had that, you know, I'm going to a better place. There's no risk, or I should not be worried of anything. So yeah, Let's go there. And that's how it started.
So tell me about the, did you find any kind of cultural shock, or, you know, what sort of, what impression did you get of the culture when you came to, you know, such a small place, New Plymouth?
Cultural wise, because I grew up in a city which was very multicultural city, you know, Hyderabad, I found all set of people, and I studied in a very in a Parsi school, which is also a different culture. I was born in a different culture. My friends and my locality was a different culture. So I was open for this very multicultural group right from the beginning. So, and considering I was working with the clients from US or, you know, Denmark and all that, so language was not a barrier for me. You know, I had a good English. I had a very clear understanding of, you know, communication wise with the people. So that was all right. And cultural thing, because I was never intent to live here, or, you know, I never thought ki it's a big change or anything. I always wanted to learn. I was open to learn a lot of things as I am now. And the biggest thing I found was people are very calm, peaceful. Mm-hmm. They are very welcoming, you know. They're very open probably they're not so much open for new Asian people coming in here and all that, because the biggest reason what I found over the period is not many New Zealanders have seen other side of the world, you know. I can tell you maybe more than half of New Zealand hasn't seen the other side of, they haven't traveled across Taswan, you know. They don't know much of Asia. What they have seen in Slumdog Millionaire, they think that, you know, that's what India was or is. So not many people, even now, you know, people, they go with the face or skin color and they assume that we don't know much. I had quite a few times, I had many people over the years still ask me, oh, you speak good English, how come, you know? And then I have to tell them that, you know, English is a widely spoken language in India, you know? So it was definitely a different for, more than me, it was different for them. Because they haven't seen the world, I have, you know. Probably they never traveled to my country, but I am in their country. And, you know, I can speak their language, probably they can't. So it was an advantage for me to explain myself or to learn, you know, their cultural things or the way how they do things. So it was, I won't say it was hard for me, it was easy, considering I was open for it, you know, and language was the biggest help.
If, did that help you in your employment? Going up the ladder and things like that?
Not so much, because in hospitality, not many people focus on your language. Probably it is okay to communicate with customers, you know. Definitely you have to have a really good English with your customers. But growing up the ladder was probably more of passion game, you know. Hospitality, as I said, it's more about passion. If you're not passionate, you won't survive in any job, you know. Any job you do, you'll do it either wholeheartedly or either you'll do it for a week-to-week paycheck, you know. So for me, work was my passion. And especially we come from a culture, Indian culture is something like, you know, work is worship, you know, at least back then. So I come from that way where, you know, my work was more important for me than the pay, than the hours, than all that. The biggest difference I found was people here count every minute, you know. And back then, you know, I never saw my clock in.
Work finished.
Exactly, you know. And I got nothing else to do, you know. So probably that was the thing, you know. It was more of passion. I was enjoying it, you know. And language, yeah, probably it did help. Definitely it did help. If I see a point of, you know, other immigrant who moved into New Zealand who probably can't speak good English, definitely for them it's a very challenging game, you know. And probably I had that advantage.
Right. So how did this passion of like working in hospitality actually turn into becoming an entrepreneur and owning a restaurant?
So as I moved up the ladder very quickly with restaurant brands, I had, and it was due to my performance, you know, performance speaks. Nobody gives you nearly 5 promotions in 2.5 years. I jumped up 5 ladders in a restaurant brand in less than 2.5 years, you know. And that actually keep me going, you know. Sorry, getting promotions or getting my work recognized was probably the thing which helped me or increase my passion more towards it, because there was someone who was recognizing my work, and that motivated me, and I deliver results. They used to call me Mr. Fix It. They used to give me all bad stores who were non-performers or who were making loss for them. I used to go there, fix staff, train, increase the sales, make profitability. So over the period, in that 2.5 years, I became very good at it. So they moved from New Plymouth to Havre, from Havre to Levin, from Levin to Hastings. So I moved nearly about 8 to 10 stores before I was posted in Christchurch. So back then, you know, head office could see my performance, the way I was performing, and I was developing the stores from negative sales to positive, from negative profits to positive profit. So that helped me, and that's when they gave me this challenge of, you know, running an area within 2.5 years, you know. So I was managing about 8 stores in Christchurch post-earthquake, and then end up managing the entire South Island for them. So,
wow.
So I was working very hard, working very passionately. My residency was sorted in my first 18 months when I arrived to New Zealand. So it wasn't for residency or it wasn't, you know, for anything else. It was more towards work-driven and performance-driven. And then I realized that over the period of time, I was setting up a new target for myself achieving the goals. And then next year, I have to achieve my own, you know, break my own records or achieve my own numbers. So it was becoming, again, very monotonous. So back home, that's what happened. And the same thing was happening here with the restaurant brands. So it became very monotonous. And I was blessed with a baby girl during that time. And that's when I realized that I have to set my priorities, you know. Mm. I cannot be working 60, 70 hours for a company and not focusing on my, you know, personal life.
Yeah. So that's a big contrast.
It is.
Coming from India, where, you know, you were the youngest one and everything was just put on you.
Yeah.
To hear now you had so much responsibilities. You know, how did it change you?
Probably that transformation happened over the period of time of, you know, working and working by myself. Back home, you have at least your uncles, your aunts, or your friends, or, you know, or your friends' parents to lean towards, you know. Any difficulty, you can ask help. Or you can at least open up with somebody and say, okay, fine, can you help me with this? Or can you help me finding this? Or, you know. But over here, as an immigrant, you don't have that liberty, you know. You have very limited options of friends, you know, like-minded people or equal passion or equal industry and all that. So here you have to build your own relations, you know. Here you have to make your own relatives. Here you have to incline towards your friends and make your own friends, which may last, may not last, depending on their jobs and, you know, nature of if they move to a different city, which, you know, happens where student post study, they move to different cities. So here you have to ask yourself, you have to, you know, make your own decisions. So that, talking to myself or making my own decisions, probably has transformed me from the youngest from the family to the, probably, you know,
Mr. Fix-It.
So I have to fix it on my own, you know. So probably that's where the maturity came in, you know. Probably that's where I became more of a man, from a boy to a man, you know. So yeah,
right.
That
now,
transformation.
Tell me about your first venture into, you know, you're becoming an entrepreneur.
As I was having a really good job, you know, everything was going well with restaurant brands. It started with a thought that I had a very good friend back then. Even he is a good friend now, who used to work in hospitality. He has studied hospitality and he worked in hospitality. And he was a very passionate guy with hospitality. So my passion was operations. I was very good at numbers. I was very good at training people, getting things done. Human resource or labor laws in New Zealand is very complex.
So very people-oriented.
Yeah, I was very people-oriented and I understood that concept, and his passion was towards customers and, you know, hospitality. So we both decided that, okay, fine, Christchurch is a city we're going to be here. We loved it. We could relate it back home, you know. The city is very plain, simple, good people. I was like, let's do it something here, you know, let's do it together. So that's how it started, a collaboration between two friends. And I did not have the confidence of running the restaurant. I could do a quick service restaurant like a Pizza Hut or KFC and all, because that's where I worked. But in a fine dine or a semi-fine dine atmosphere was a bit of a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. So that's when my friend who come up with a good experience, he helped collaborating with me. And, you know, that's when I said, okay, fine, let me give up my job, considering if for some, the main idea of getting into hospitality or becoming an entrepreneur was, for someone else, I'm doing so much, you know. I was working more than 60 plus hours. I'm managing 21 staff. I had more than 200 employees in restaurant brands reporting to me, from drivers to duty managers to staff to managers to assistant managers. I was dealing with immigration for their visas. I was dealing with HR, with the recruitment and everything. I was dealing with so many things. I thought, why don't I do it for myself, you know?
So when did this happen then?
So 2012, I come to Christchurch. 2014 is when, you know, February 2014 is when I decided, okay, fine, you know, let me do it.
Yeah.
I still worked about nearly 18 to 20 months in South Island. And that's when I thought, fine.
What was the restaurant called? The first one that you owned?
It was started with this, Mosaic by Seymour. Right. Yeah, started with Mosaic by Seymour.
Seymour's, right.
So this was my first as an entrepreneur, as an owner thing. And from here, I have grown, you know, I've gone through lengths from there.
Now, for the listeners, did you start this business from scratch or did you buy?
I bought it from a previous owners. It was an amazing hospitality couple, well-known couple called Seymour and Anthea back then.
Okay.
So I bought it from Seymour, Seymour Bari. And the reason I bought this was... it was a very different concept, you know. It was, first of all, it was very authentic food, authentic Moroccan restaurant. It was halal, which I can relate from my back home. It was good customer base, good reputation, good sales, of course. As an entrepreneur, you need to look at your numbers. So that's how it started. And, you know, I got into it. Anthea, Simo's wife back then, she has trained me a lot about customer service, you know, how to interact, when, what, how to tackle situations in dining situations. And, you know, it's a busy restaurant, you know. Back then it was more customers before earthquake, before COVID, you know, things were completely different.
So was it a total takeover, or did you buy it like 50% and were they working with you for some time?
It was a kind of migration, yes. It was an understanding that we'll go slow. Like Simo's another passionate about hospitality and his brand, and it was his name on the board. So, you know, he wouldn't have given just any newbies to manage his name. So, yeah, he has been a very strong part with us, you know. He stayed with us nearly 2 years. And when he was confident that I'm fully ready to take over his brand, that's when, you know, he did something else.
Now, is this the only restaurant you have, or do you...
Currently, yes, I do. But back then, that is, once I decided to, you know, have my own brand and, you know, have my own restaurants. After acquiring this, me and my business partner, we took an Indian restaurant. Again, another good reputed back then was Mayur Indian Restaurant on Riccarton Road. So we had that. And after that, I did something on my own. I took one in Hamner Springs called Robbie's Bar and Bistro. So I was running three restaurants then. And then we expanded Mosaic branch in City Center. So again, going back to the restaurant brands, if I had this passion that if I can do 20 for them, I can do at least 4 or 5 for myself. So I was very passionate about growing my own brand, and I was very confident because I had done it, I proved it in the past. So there was a time where I had about 5 restaurants or 5 businesses, I can say. But things started changing due to short of staff. Because here in New Zealand, you have to depend on your staff a lot, you know. Especially when you're expanding, when you have passion, things change. People change, people's circumstances change, so priorities changes. So it was very tight with immigration about having immigrants, you know, extending their visas or getting their residencies. There was a change in government. So things have changed a lot back then. And then probably COVID was the final nail in the coffin. When COVID happened, at that time, I still had 2 restaurants, and then slowly, you know, I had to decide that, you know, fine, let me just keep the one which I originally had. Let's take a break. Because the COVID will take time to recover, you know. It's going to take probably another few more years to come back to what was before COVID. You know, financially, people, you know, mentality-wise and everything. So tourism, the way we used to have tourism before and now has changed a lot. So as of now, I'm just on my back seat, but has not given up yet. So I will bounce back again.
Right, yeah. So tell me about the COVID period you were talking about. You know, so how did you find the government reacted and helped the businesses during that period?
Definitely kudos to the government, you know. What they did back then was a bit of a rush job, probably. I think, you know, they jumped into a solution very quickly. It's my personal opinion that, you know, probably they did not put much thought about it. But they helped us, you know. Honestly, every small business survived just because of the support what we received. If no support, definitely, we couldn't have survived those periods. So same with my staff, you know. When COVID hit, I had 2 restaurants. I had about 14 staff on my payroll. So it was hard for them as well, you know. Many students, many full-time people who were relying on this job to run their family. So thanks for government to, you know, taking up that step and supporting the small businesses every possible way they could in that, you know, pandemic time.
Now, I know you haven't run a business in India, but I just wanted to ask whether you would know what the difference is or the ease of doing business compared
back
between
home?
New Zealand and India would be. Do you have any idea?
There's a lot of paperwork here. Back there, due to the high population or, you know, probably bureaucracy not being so transparent or it's not so much of legalization there. But here, every damn paperwork needs to be done. You know, you cannot just open your store, or you just cannot open your food cart or anything. You need to have your licensing in place. You need to have your registrations in place, your reference checks, your police clearances. There's a lot of paperwork. Ease of doing business is easy. It's not complicated.
Right. To start a business is not difficult.
Yeah, it's not difficult at all.
It's about the regulations that you have to adhere to.
You're liable for anything and everything.
Sumit, where do people find you? How do they find you? And what is it that they'll get here when they arrive to your restaurant?
Mosaic by Simo is located on Lincoln Road. The address is 300 Lincoln Road. It's in the Ellington Mall, right next to Domino's Pizza. We got ample of car park. We got we are open throughout, right from morning 10:30 a.m. till night 9 p.m. 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday. And what you'll find here is amazing food, amazing service. At least that's what my Google review says. So we are very passionate people about our food and service. We deliver amazing salads. There is a very popular dish called bocadillos, which is like a Spanish toasted wrap in a Lebanese flatbread with some salads, choice of meat or vegetarian, and get toasted, which is a really popular thing. Must try. And we are also very popular for platters. We do a catering platters, which is a combination of meat or vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And please do come in. Visit our website. We also introduced ordering online thing just a few weeks ago. So definitely, it's a must try, I would say.
Mentioned that you do catering as well.
A lot, yes.
For big functions.
Catering is also another great aspect we have. A lot of offices, a lot of caterings or functions, we cater them. Right from a small group of 5 or 4 to group of 50, we can cater all of them. We have different catering options like finger food or 3-course or 2-course meal. So whatever the client requirement is, we tailor the menu and we adjust that according to the price.
So it was great talking to you, and I love the passion that you work with.
Thank you.
Your passion towards hospitality, your passion towards service to people. I wish all the best to you in future.
Thank you
so much for being on the show.
You've been listening to Colors of Courage on Plains FM 96.9. Join me again for the next episode.
If you enjoyed today's show, follow Lady Khadija Trust on Facebook and make sure to like and subscribe to Colors of Courage on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to never miss a show. You can find past episodes on plainsfm.org.nz. Tune in on the first Monday of the month at 12 p.m. for more amazing stories from Canterbury's ethnic social entrepreneurs, only on Plains FM 96.9.